And then I remember the first time I actually went in to a gay pub venue or whatever, I was kind of very young at the time compared to most people there. But I think what hit me was, one, I felt very comfortable. But I think really early on, I don't know whether it was to do with maybe an unconscious form of politics or not, I don't know. But one of the things that hit me really early on was the fact that compared to, quote unquote, my normal life, I felt there was a higher degree of racism there. And I say that because I just felt, for a lot of the kind of early kind of experiences I had with people, I think I was more convinced, and I'm convinced now as an older person, that a lot of those experiences, I don't think it was because of me, I think it was because of my colour. I think people, they objectified you because you were black or mixed race or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think later on I began to almost resent that. And I remember having a conversation in a gay club in Birmingham called The Nightingale, and I remember saying to this guy that I felt really uncomfortable, and he just kind of dismissively said, you know, well, some people, you know, are into leather, some people are into denim, I just happen to be into kind of black people. Mm-hmm. And I think it just made me feel very, very, very uncomfortable, and I was making kind of choices. So wherever the in clubs was in those days, I would actually have gone to most of them at some point, the Vauxhall Tavern, the usual. Used to go to clubs on a Sunday. And then, you know, and interesting, always woke up for work the following day.
So, okay.
Yeah. But it was good. And I think then you actually realise, I think I suppose what London, I suppose, did was it actually showed me that there was a whole range of people. Because I think, like most people of my age growing up, I think, and which is kind of different to now, is that the people who were portrayed on things like television as people who were gay were very stereotypical people. There was people like John Inman, there was kind of Dick Emery, there was Danny LaRue.
It was
one very typical type of person. And I guess in some ways, in your head, you actually thought, well, this, is that what I need to be a gay person? And then when I moved to London, you found such a broader range of real people. Because back in the suburbs, a lot of the people I did meet at the time, funny enough, were either in the creative industries, like hairdressers or in catering or whatever. And then you moved to London and you started meeting doctors, lawyers or whatever. I'm not saying those people didn't exist in the suburbs, but I guess probably they would have been more conscious of the fact that if they were outed, how it could affect their work. Mm. And I think one of the things, I don't know whether it's about being black or gay or whatever, I think one of the things that's been very important to me is that I've always accepted responsibility for my life. I've never, whether it's been with a partner or anybody, I've never ever been that person who's actually said, oh, poor me, look what's happened to me. I think whatever happened, I am one of these people that turn negatives into positives. And I'm not the type of person that dwells. I don't think, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I just kind of think, that's happened, and now it's time to move on to do something else. And I guess that's the way I see relationships. When I come out of a relationship, I don't kind of dissect it and think, oh, you know, what did I do wrong? What did he do wrong or whatever? I just think to myself, that was a chapter in my life. And whether it was good or bad or whatever, it's part of who I am. That's never going to go away. All I can choose to do is either continue that behavior into another relationship, or I guess learn from it. And I think by and large, I think I've learned from it. And I think a lot of that learning has come from growing up in Birmingham as a gay black person, that basic of few that I was aware of, that made you a very kind of strong, independent type person. Because I guess when you think about it now, I guess when people did know, or when people was aware, it wasn't like now where there was all the kind of you know, Equality Act 2010, yeah, where people, whatever, yeah, you know, people, you know, were very, you know, very vocal about how they saw gay people, how they tolerated or didn't tolerate gay people, you know. I mean, people being beaten up at taxi ranks in Leicester and Birmingham was quite normal. I think whilst London, I guess, is a mecca for lots of people, you know, even people from abroad, they come to London. I do think that beneath the surface of, you know, buzzing, vibrant, young London, I am beginning to see a lot more older lesbian and gay people who are very isolated. And in some ways, I would imagine London is probably the worst place because, in a way, everything that they would like to be part of is here, but it excludes. So, as I said earlier, you know, I'm not really on the scene, whatever the scene is now, but what I know of it, it is about young people, it is about money, it is about body image, it is about lots of things. And it's quite interesting that in all these years, given that older people, whatever old, I mean, I think the European Union have now described the older person as someone over 55, but given the monetary value that people of my age group spend in pound that you actually have, what I find is very interesting is that there isn't really stuff to cater for that age group. It's really kind of sad. So I kind of think that's something I think that I would like to see different. There's lots of isolation. And also, I mean, I remember talking to somebody the other day, about a year ago, and she's now living in a care home. And in her care home, you know, people know that she is a lesbian, but she's ostracized by the fellow guests within the home. And I think that's the kind of thing that goes through your mind. And recently, I went to the Caribbean, and one of the things that's really hit me there is, it could be just my perception, it may not be the case, but it's one of the places where I couldn't see myself being out because of the level of hostility that exists. And it made me wonder what life must be like for people who are not in places like London or Paris or New York, who are living on a very tiny island where everybody knows everybody, and, you know, where the whole issue of isolation because of your sexuality, you know, isn't even considered. So I'm glad I moved to London, but I also kind of think I would sort of say that it wouldn't have mattered where I actually moved to. I think I'd like to believe that I would have actually found a level of happiness, a level of peace, a level of being a reflective person. But I think all that journey that I actually took, that got me to where I am now. And I do sometimes look around and actually think, I wonder what would have happened if I'd actually stayed in Leicester or Birmingham. And I think that the thought is just too horrible to think about.